Good evening. We are in Joel Goldsmith's book, Living by Grace. And I'm so excited to once again be in chapter 5. We have been doing some reviewing, and we are now in the section called Beyond Mine. Joel writes that it is only in our minds, meaning only in our intellect, only in what we think and believe, only in what is informed by the ego and the outer sensations, that we entertain the corporeal sense. And this sense is the fleshly sense, the physical sense of man, the physical sense of humanity, which does not enter, does not transcend into a realm beyond the physical and the flesh, also known as the kingdom of heaven or the spirit. Some call it divine mind. Some call it the universe. That powerful, awesome energy that we know as God. The middle path, or what's known as spiritual consciousness, knows only the spiritual man, the Son of God. Christ, who was never born and will never die, is what Joel calls the true man. That is a man who is not limited by the physical, is not limited by the mental, but transcends the things of the world into the consciousness of spirit. In our healing work, hallelujah for our healing work, in that realm of consciousness where we realize we are one with spirit, where we put on the new self, where we transcend within the blink of an eye those outer maladies, those situations, those things that we call dis-ease, and we are lifted in perfect health and wholeness. This is the true man who can raise Lazarus from the dead, the true man whose garment can be touched in an instant, an illness that has been plaguing us for years and years suddenly disappears. The true man is the true power and purpose that is embedded in us in the Christ consciousness in which we live and move and have our being. In our healing work, we are unseeing, unknowing of the corporeal or physical sense of humanity. Well or sick, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the extreme is, rich or poor, good or bad. Because in this consciousness of grace, in this consciousness of Christ, in this consciousness of the kingdom, there is neither extreme. The corporeal sense is our only tempter. We are tempted by what we see and know and experience in the flesh, but in the spirit, in the absolute consciousness of God, there is no temptation because we are one with all that spirit is. We have no longing, no desire, because we realize we have everything that we need. What we see, what we hear, what we taste and touch and smell is our false sense of that man, better known as humanity. You are not a false person or a fallen person or a physical person. We only entertain a false sense of the person that you are. And so this is so important when we have these interpersonal relationships, when we have strife with other people, when we have to communicate with those around us, to realize when we transcend the physical realm in a consciousness of grace, we can send them all love and call it all good because we recognize that we are one with the Spirit. We only entertain a false sense of the person that we appear to be. The healthy, fleshly sense of humanity is just as illusory as the sickly sense, as the good man is just as illusory as the bad one. Therefore, in our work, Joel teaches us, we do not engage in exchanging the sense of erroneous man to the sense of correct man. Whatever there is in the outer is just an illusion because in the realm of spirit, we are all whole and complete in all that spirit is, and we defy, we transcend, we raise above. We are raised, lifted above the fleshly realm so that we are not governed, we are not controlled, we are not limited by the bodies that we are in. We are so much greater than we appear in the flesh. The ascension is always the same, a rising above mind, above knowing the truth. And so when we think about that, it is that we transcend what we believe we know in the intellect to the universal wisdom that is all-knowing, that is omniscient, that is God. There's a big difference between knowing from an intellectual or egotistical perspective and being one with the truth. In all of our classwork, probably even in the writings, Joel says, I have said that I did not understand the crucifixion of Jesus or why, or even if it had to take place. It was not until 1963 when I myself went through the experience and the resurrection that the reason for the crucifixion and the need for it was revealed to me. The memory of that past from me. You see, when we are one in the spirit, we share the same universal consciousness, and the spirit will reveal to us from an infinite realm of knowledge, of wisdom, of absolute good that is not confined by time and space. And so when we believe that we are limited to today, we are thinking in the fleshly realm. But we can move forward in a consciousness of oneness and congratulate ourselves, uplift ourselves, applaud ourselves, and seize the victory that is days, weeks, and years ahead of us. Because we share the infinite realm of the kingdom of absolute good that is always blessing us and is not confined to the limits of the flesh. Joel says the memory of the resurrection of Christ passed from him. And he could not bring it to conscious recollection. But later, when he went through the experience of the ascension, the entire scene was again revealed to him. This, he says, is what I saw. Jesus reveals that he had attained the goal. I am the way. Thou seest me, thou seest God, for I and God are one. He proved it when he took three disciples to what is called the Mount of Transfiguration. Transfiguration simply means high consciousness. And he revealed to them the Hebrew prophets who were supposed to have died. In this way, he proved that they are alive and that they are here in form. It makes no difference whether he translated them into invisible or visible form, or whether he translated himself and his disciples into invisible form, because it is the same experience. Jesus proved that I can lay down my life and pick it up. I can walk into the invisible realm and I can walk out again, for I am spirit. I am the way. He's not talking about himself being the way. He is talking about a consciousness that he is teaching us to embrace, so that just as he is the way, each and every one of us is the way. Moses did not die. He did not know death. He was translated and entered the promised land. And what is the promised land? We like to limit ourselves to thinking of it as a place that was filled with milk and honey, but the promised land is a consciousness, the invisible life of the spirit. Moses's followers were not aware of it because he was not corporally present with them as they continued on their journey. Hallelujah. Those of us who were worried about Moses being dead, after all of that work that Moses did and how they revised the scriptures and said that Moses would not make it into the promised land, well, Joel is teaching us something different. He says Moses did not die. He was translated, he ascended, he entered the promised land, the invisible life of spirit. And his followers, beloved, were not aware of it because he was not corporally, he was not in the physical and the flesh with them as they continued on their journey. You see, Moses, he said, had transcended. Enoch was translated without knowing death. Elijah was translated without knowing death. Isaiah may have been translated without knowing death. And I, Cecilia, in my baptized imagination, would like to say Joel Goldsmith was translated without knowing death. We still have his teachings. He's still present with us. All of the time, new books are constantly being produced. He writes, "From this I know now that Jesus could have been translated without knowing death. He could have avoided being crucified. But when Jesus became aware of the betrayal and underwent trial and the threatened crucifixion, he chose to accept corporeal death in order to reveal to his disciples that death is not an experience. It is an illusory sense that we must see through. And so he transcended death. He had raised Lazarus from the dead, but now he raised himself. And what did he teach us? He taught us that these and greater things shall you do, the raising from the dead, the transcending the physical realm. It's just one of many things that we will do, that we can do. Jesus revealed that there is no such thing as death. By permitting himself to experience corporeal death, and by revealing himself in what appeared to be the same corporeal form with all of its wounds. Having served that purpose, Jesus' continued presence on earth in corporeal form could have only been an embarrassment to the disciples, to the church, to Rome, and probably to himself. Now we find that he is translated, he ascends out of corporeal form. I know I was speaking on a panel and someone asked what Jesus looked like, you know, if he was black, if he was white, and one of the ministers began a lengthy explanation about how no one has ever seen Jesus. But I have had that kind of personal experience where I did see Jesus Christ and I looked him right in the eyes on the day of his crucifixion. He has a continued presence on earth. One that is spiritual, one that continues to live with us, one that we can feel its presence, even here and now, or I should say, especially here and now. He ascends out of the limitations of the fleshly realm, and he is lifted in the wholeness and the grace and the completion and the power and the joy of all that spirit is. You can interpret this to mean that he rose above his own mind. Because it is only in our minds that we entertain the corporeal sense, not in our spiritual facilities, our spiritual faculties. In our soul faculties, we are spirit. We see each other spiritually, whether we are here on this plane or whether we are looking at those who have gone to the other plane or those who are not yet born. Dying is not a condition that you actually go through. No one has ever died. There is no death. God has no pleasure in your dying and has never arranged for a death. Let me just say that again. God has no pleasure in your dying. What an incredible revelation this is. And has never arranged for a death. Therefore, death is only an experience of corporeal sense, the sense that tells us we are physical, mortal, finite, that we have an end. Death is never an experience of our own being. We start on the spiritual path to learn the truth. The truth is something that is beyond the fleshly realm. We want to learn truth, study truth, practice truth. Until we reach beyond the mind, though, and it's knowing truth, we can never attain the goal of realizing that which I am seeking, I am. I am the truth. When Moses spoke of himself as being slow of speech, he still retained a finite sense of Moses. That finite sense of Moses could not enter the promised land until he could crucify that mortal sense of Moses that still remained, that part of him that was steeped into the physical realm. He could not enter the promised land. He could not enter heaven. On the Mount High Consciousness, the Mount stands for High Consciousness, Moses realized the I Am and thereby became I Am. All the Essenes knew the same truth, and the Essenes were this sect of religious zealots around Jesus' time. John the Baptist was one. All of the Essenes knew the same truth, but Jesus realized truth and became the truth. Hallelujah. He became the truth. Jesus retained a sense of Jesus when he said, I of my own self can do nothing. If I speak of myself, I bear witness to a lie. This sense of Jesus, this sense consciousness, this limitations of flesh, and this desire in Jesus to be of the world had to be crucified. And once he rose above the seeming mortal sense of self, he made the ascension. He became the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. The ascension is always rising above the mind, above knowing the truth, to truth itself. The goal of the infinite way is to rise above the mind and attain the realization, the same realization that was in Christ. That which I am seeking and praying for and going to church for and reading the scripture and begging and cajoling God for, that which I am seeking, I am. Throughout Joe's writings, he said again and again that he did not think up this message or invented or created. It was received and always through listening, sometimes in periods of limitation, periods of initiation, sometimes while giving lectures and classes, but always while in a state of receptivity. That state of receptivity is our hidden mana, being open and receptive to God, open and receptive to the truth that we are, is our blessing. That state of receptivity is our hidden mana. It is what produced all that appears in Joel's message. In our teaching, we are feeding the students all of these words of God that have been revealed to us so that they can take them into their minds and bury them deep in their consciousness until they too rise above the level of the mind to where they can live without taking thought and be receptive to the still small voice. Never believe that the infinite way is teaching you to mentalize, to use your mind to attract things. Mentalizing is only necessary, beloved, when you are learning the truth. This is different. Listen. We are the truth. Mentalizing is only necessary when you are learning the truth, when you are feeding your consciousness with the letter, but not the spirit of truth. We want no student, you know, you can say as many affirmations as you want. But Joel taught that we are more than affirmations and denials, because that is not living by the grace of God. The Infinite Way message has been leading you to the stage where you live without words or thoughts. Keep working hard and long with the principles of the Infinite Way until the principles are embodied in you and your soul begins to feed you with hidden mana. But don't take it and make it an 8-hour day, Joel says. Take time out and work in your garden and read a good book. And we have to learn to stop sometimes for a day or two and say, let me not trust my mind. Let me relax in God. Invite the soul. Relax in the soul, without words or thoughts. God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in your problems. God is not in the messiness of life. God is not in your thoughts. God is not in your books. God is in the still, small voice. In order to hear that voice and receive its impartations and its grace, we must live quietly and peacefully in the within. There must come a rest from the activity of the mind, from taking thought for our lives, from fearing for our lives, from constantly knowing the truth in order to avoid some experience. There must come a rest, Sabbath. In this Sabbath, we live by grace because now we do not merely know the truth, we are the truth. And the truth reveals itself to us. It's not just an activity of the minds, it is the soul revealing itself. This period of rest is the fruitage of abiding in these principles. It is the true meaning of the Sabbath that Moses gave to the Hebrews. It was a period of rest forever. Yes, labor for 6 days to know these principles until you come to the place where you realize I is God. And the word that it imparts to me is the bread, the meat, the wine, and the water. Then you have entered the Sabbath. And for the rest of your days, you live by the grace of God, by my Spirit. When you reach that stage, you can relax and rest in truth instead of feverishly searching for and reading and studying the truth. You become a state of awareness without taking thought and without speaking or thinking, and discover the meaning of man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word, every feeling, every emotion, every thought that comes to you from the deep withinness of you is what you now live by. It guides and directs and sustains, it protects, it goes before you to make the crooked places straight. Our ultimate goal must be to live in God.